Gopakanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Rishabhanu Suta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavalebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadatha Sri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Chapter 11, text 53. Naham Veda na tapasa Nadane nana chejaya Shakyame vam vido drastum dristavana simam yata. The form you are seeing with your transcendental eyes cannot be understood simply by studying the Vedas, nor by undergoing serious penances, nor by charity, nor by worship. It is not by these means that one can see me as I am. Are you familiar with Bhagavad Gita? Have you read the Bhagavad Gita? So what's happened in this chapter is, see, this is Krishna and this is Arjuna. They're in a chariot on a battlefield. And the battle's just about to begin. In my book, there's a picture in the front. So they're on the battlefield, and then in the middle, there's one chariot. Do you have it in your book also? So they're in the middle of the battlefield. They're just about to start the battle. And then Arjuna said, I'm not sure I should fight. Wait a minute, I'm not sure I should be doing this. He sees on the other side relatives, his grandfather, his teacher even, who he learned everything from. So he's asking Krishna all these questions. And now in chapter 11, what he's asked is, he wants to see the universal form. Any pictures of it? This is a picture of the universal form. So he's just showed this form to Arjuna. And then he showed his forearmed form. And now he's showing his two-armed form. The form of Krishna with two arms, playing the one that plays the flute, that... So this form he's showing, and he's saying this form that you're seeing now is very difficult to see. There's a description in 8.21 in the purport. In 8.21 there's a description of Krishna, what he looks like in his two-armed form. I'll read it. It's describing Goloka Vrindavan. The supreme abode of Lord Krishna, Goloka Vrindavan, is full of palaces made of touchstone. There are trees called desire trees that supply any type of eatable upon demand. I'll read it. I'm reading from 8.21. This is just a description. There are cows known as Sarabi cows, which supply a limitless supply of milk. In this abode, the Lord is served by hundreds of thousands of goddesses of fortune, Lakshmis, and he is called Govinda, the primeval Lord and the cause of all causes. The Lord is accustomed to blow his flute, Venum Kvanvantam. His transcendental form is the most attractive in all the worlds. His eyes are like lotus petals. The color of his body is like the color of clouds. He is so attractive that his beauty excels that of thousands of cupids. He wears a saffron cloth, a garland around his neck, and a peacock feather in his hair. So this, can you see it? See, he's playing a flute, he's got a peacock feather in his hair, he's wearing these saffron-colored clothes. This is the two-handed form of Krishna. So this form is very difficult to see. So this form is called the Shama Sunda. Yesterday, at the very end of the purport, this name was given, Shama Sunda. This means that his color is dark, like a monsoon cloud filled with rain, like darkish and bluish, and when the sun shines through, it's very effulgent. This color is Krishna, dark but effulgent. So just by reading the books and studying the grammar on our own, we won't understand this form. Just by going to the temple and doing some ritual worship, and we won't understand Krishna. How we will understand Krishna, this he's going to tell tomorrow in the next verse, by devotion. In the purport it says, Krishna first appeared before his parents, Devaki and Vasudev. So if Krishna is God, how come he's got parents? How can God have parents, a mother and a father? What do you say, Sham? Sham? How come God has parents? How come God has a mother and a father? It says, Krishna appeared before his parents, Devaki and Vasudev. So it's about 5,000 years ago Krishna appeared here on earth, and so when he came on earth, then he had a mother and father. They were two devotees who had prayed that they wanted to have him as their son. So this is why he agreed that they could be his parents. Not that he needs a mother to appear. Yes, but this is because he has agreed to accept her as a mother. Not because he needs a mother. Not because he needs to be born. Who? He has many mothers. But when he was on earth the last time, 5,000 years ago, then Devaki was his mother. At least, not that he got born like we get born, he appeared through her. So I wanted to read a little bit of the story about why he came and what he did. See, there's a reason why Krishna came, why he appeared on earth as a prince, why he bothered to come at all. There's a reason. There's three reasons. So who wants to tell one of the reasons why he came? Tell one of them. Tell one of them in English. What's a miscreant? Maybe someone doesn't know this word. It's quite a baddie. To kill the baddies. The baddies. And wait, stop. Oh, I said one reason. No, he said it. Okay, he said two. To annihilate the demons, the baddies, to protect the devotees, and one more reason. To protect thee? Yes. To reestablish the principles of religion. It was getting a bit out of hand. There were these kings who were supposed to be giving the good example, but they were actually wicked, but very powerful. So they were killing innocent people, oppressing people. It was getting out of hand, so then Krishna appeared to sort everything out, kill all the bad kings, get a good king in the right place, reestablish religion. So he appeared in his four-armed form. And then his mother said, "Oh, if you look like that, then it's obvious who you are. But if you look like a regular baby, then we can hide you." So then he took the form of a regular baby with two arms. I just want to read a little bit from Krishna book. So, Devaki is the mother and Vasudev is the father. Once upon a time, Vasudev, the son of Shurasen, just after marrying Devaki, was going home on his chariot with his newly wedded wife. The father of Devaki, known as... Devak, had contributed a sufficient dowry because he was very affectionate towards his daughter. He had contributed hundreds of chariots completely decorated with gold equipment. What they used to do was the sons would inherit the property when the father died, but the girls would get riches when they got married. So they get all kinds of wealth when they get married. And then when the father dies, the property that's left goes to the sons. At that time, Kamsa, he's an evil king. Kamsa, he's very powerful, but he's the bad guy. Kamsa, the son of Ugrasen, in order to please his sister Devaki, had voluntarily taken the reins of the horses of Vasudev's chariot and was driving. According to the custom of the Vedic civilization, when a girl is married, the brother takes the sister and brother-in-law to their home. So what the tradition was the boys would carry on living in their parents' house and the girls would go to their in-laws' house. So the girls leave home and go to the in-laws' house. So because it's like, you know, she's leaving her whole family, everything behind, so the brother goes with her. Because the newly married girl may feel too much separation from her father's family, the brother goes with her until she reaches the father-in-law's house. The full dowry contributed by Devak was as follows. 400 elephants, fully decorated with golden garlands, 15,000 decorated horses, and 1,800 chariots. He also arranged for 200 beautiful girls to follow his daughter. The Kshatriya system of marriage, still current in India, dictates that when a Kshatriya is married, a few dozen of the bride's young girlfriends, in addition to the bride, go to the house of the king. The followers of the queen are called maidservants, but actually they act as friends of the queen. This practice is prevalent from time immemorial, traceable at least to the time before the advent of Lord Krishna, 5,000 years ago. So Vasudev brought home another 200 beautiful girls along with his wife, Devaki. While the bride and bridegroom were passing along on the chariot, there were different kinds of musical instruments playing to indicate the auspicious moment. There were conch shells, bugles, drums, and kettle drums combined together. They were vibrating a nice concert. The procession was passing very pleasingly, and Kamsa was driving the chariot, when suddenly there was a miraculous sound vibrated from the sky, which especially announced to Kamsa, "Kamsa, you are such a fool. You are driving the chariot of your sister and your brother-in-law, but you do not know that the eighth child of this sister will kill you." So they're driving along very nicely, and all of a sudden this prophetic voice from the sky gives the message that the eighth son of Devaki and Vasudev is going to kill Kamsa. Kamsa was the son of Ugrasen of the Boj dynasty, and it is said that Kamsa was the most demoniac of all the Boj dynasty kings. Immediately after hearing the prophecy from the sky, he caught hold of Devaki's hair and was just about to kill her with his sword. Vasudev was astonished at Kamsa's behavior, and in order to pacify the cruel, shameless brother-in-law, he began to speak as follows, with great reason and evidence. And then he gives a whole long speech in which he tries to persuade the brother-in-law not to kill the bride. And he gives all kinds of metaphors, and he says, "Why are you so afraid of death? And anyway, my sister is not going to kill you. Her eighth son is going to kill you if he ever appears, if she even has sons. So for the moment, you're safe. So there's no need to panic. Put away your sword. You're safe for now." And still he's not pacified. And he says, "Okay, I promise that if she has any sons, I'll give them to you. And you can do whatever you want with them." So then he's pacified and he puts away his sword. And for now, he's saved the day. And then they have the first child. And Vasudev brings, as he said he would, because he's a man of his word, a man of honor, he brings the first child to Kamsa. And Kamsa says, "Actually, it's the eighth son that's going to kill me, not this one, so you can take him home." And then, why does he change his mind? Madhugopal. "It must be something to do with Narada Muni. Oh no, Narada Muni strikes again." At that time, the great sage Narada came to Kamsa. He was informed of Kamsa's becoming compassionate to Vasudev and returning his firstborn child. Narada was very eager to accelerate the descent of Lord Krishna as soon as possible. He therefore informed Kamsa that in Vrindavan, personalities like Nanda Maharaj and all the other cowherd men and their wives on the side of Vasudev, his father, Shurisen, and all his relatives, that they were actually demigods. The demigods had taken birth in these families ready before that Krishna came to take part in the action. After being thus informed by Narada about the appearance of the demigods in different families, Kamsa at once became very much alarmed. He understood that since the demigods had already appeared, Lord Vishnu must be coming soon. He at once arrested his brother-in-law Vasudev and Devaki and put them behind prison bars. So then what happened was, they're in prison, Krishna's mother and father, and so that all the other babies are born in the prison, and he kills them one after the other. As soon as they're born, he comes along and kills them. And there's nothing they can do about it, that they're in prison. So then the eighth son is Krishna, and so he's born in the prison, but because he's God, he's not going to let himself be killed. What he does is he makes a nice arrangement that they swap him with a girl. How does he get out of the prison? He's in prison. How does he get out? Krishna's father has to take Krishna out of the prison and swap him with the girl. So how does he do it? He's in chains. He's in prison. He's behind bars. There's guards. So the guards fell asleep, the doors opened, the chains fell off. You see, Krishna can make all these arrangements. And then he took the baby and he crossed the river. The river gave him a passage to cross. And then he went to his friend's house, Nanda Maharaj. And Nanda Maharaj's wife had just had a baby girl, so they swapped them. And he took back the baby girl. So Krishna's safe. Krishna's at the other side of the river, in the village called Gokula. Our poor girl. Now she's in the behind bars. He might kill her. They took the little girl into the prison, but Kamsa might kill her. No. She's a very special girl. She's not an ordinary girl. Who is she? Yes, Durga, Yogamaya. When he tries to kill the girl, she goes up into the sky. She's a demigod. So he didn't get her. I wrote down, why can't we see Krishna? I can't remember where I read it, whether it was, which verse I read it in. Maybe it was yesterday's verse. Oh yes, yesterday's verse. We can't see Krishna because he's covered by yoga maya. So he covers himself. For example, his mother thinks that he's her son. She doesn't know that he's God. She's got this very nice little baby, beautiful like anything, and everyone's attracted to him. But she doesn't know that he's God. She just thinks he's a very nice son. Otherwise, how could she run after him when he's naughty with a stick? She couldn't play the mother role properly if she knew that he was God. She would just, you know, start paying obeisances or something. So he has to cover her with a curtain of yoga maya, put a spell on her that she forgets or she doesn't know that he's God. So we're also covered. We can't see him either. The only people who can see him is the ones who he wants to see him. He will reveal himself if he wants to. If he's pleased with us, then he'll reveal himself. And what we have to do, we're going to hear tomorrow. But Prabhupada already said it in the purport. Krishna can be understood only through the path of devotional service, as explained by Krishna himself in the next verse. Anyone want to add anything? We've got a few more minutes. 6 minutes. Yes.
We can also say why can God not have a mother? What would be the reason why God cannot have a mother?
Actually, he has many. There's every one of us is a soul, a spirit soul, who has a personal relationship with God, and this can be in different kinds of relationships. Some people, they want to have a relationship with him as a parent, some people want to be a friend, other people, some want to have him as a conjugal lover, want to be married to Krishna. There was, later in the book, he gets married, Krishna gets married. How many wives does he have? He gets married to 16,108 wives. So why does he get married to all those ladies? Because they want to.
Simultaneously, the modern part of Krishna are there. There was never a time where they were not.
No, it's that he doesn't need to have them.
Therefore, Krishna means he's got his father and mother eternally, he's got his friend eternally, he's got everything eternally. Not because he's God, that he cannot have a mother and father. That's part of his nature and ego, their eternal. So we can say, therefore, there's no reason why God cannot be him. He cannot have a mother and father. when Vasudev heard the sages, when he performed a sacrifice, the sages, they were glorifying Krishna as the Supreme Personality of God. And Vasudev heard all the glorification of the Son as the Supreme Personality of God. So then, when he was talking to Krishna after that, he had the mood of awe and reverence. Because, my son is the Supreme Personality of God. And Krishna did not like that. He said, maybe I'm God, but also I'm your son. So, don't do that. So therefore, it's simultaneously true that Krishna is God, but simultaneously, yet when he cannot follow him.
It's not that God is lonely out there in the spiritual world, that he's lonely and he's all on his own. No, he has all his friends, he has all these relationships. These are eternal relationships that he has with all of us also. We just don't remember at the moment what our relationship is. Okay, so we'll stop here. Thank you very much, Prabhu. We'll have some kirtan now. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. When I said, how come God has a mother and father, I was meaning, like on earth, he doesn't need to appear on earth through a mother and father. Okay. I forgot to ask if they were questions. The next two verses. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.